It'd be a blessing. Now turn to Colossians chapter number 3 if you're not there already. And we are going to look at verses 10 through 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. And because we gave you some introduction on the other part there, conclusion of last week's, we're going to have to fly to get through these notes this morning. But a lot of good stuff here, exciting stuff. You know, have you ever seen a parent, or maybe you're a parent, and you've looked at your child and you said, "What are you wearing?" Or you said, "You are not going out of the house dressed like that." Or, "You are not going to church in those clothes. That is not the right clothing for church." You understand there's a dress, an attire, and as parents, you know, you look at your son, you say, "Hey, you're not going to look like that as my child. You know, you're not going to look like that. We're not going to go that way." Well, I think Jesus Christ looks at us as Christians sometimes, and he says, "I made for you a robe of righteousness, which you're supposed to put on. What are you wearing? What is it that you're wearing? You are not going to go through life dressed like that." I think our Heavenly Father looks at us sometimes in that light. Look here with me in Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And he says, "And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all." Again, the theme of this book, Christ is all. "Put on," verse number 12, "put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Verse number 14, "And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Well, God says, we just went through some things that we're supposed to put off. There's some things that we're to get out of our lives. These are not things that we should have. But God says, hey, if you're getting these things out of your life, there's something that you need to put on. There's a robe of righteousness that I want you to wear. And Christians say, well, I want to be righteous. Righteousness is not this idea, this pie in the sky, this thing that's out there that you hope to attain over time. It's a robe of righteousness you could put on. You say, what does that mean? Well, here's a list for you. Here's a list for you, what we're supposed to put on. We're supposed to be adorned. He says here, verse number 11, he says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all." We're to put on the new man. If you're a soldier, you've got an attire that you wear. You know, you stop at the gas station somebody from one of the branches of our service gets out of their vehicle, you can pick them out. You can tell they're a soldier. They look like a soldier. Many times they're in their BDUs. Many times they might be in their dress uniform, whatever it might be. They're a soldier. They look the part. If you're a football player, you know, the Ravens players don't wear 49er outfits. They have an outfit they wear. They have a uniform that they wear. And they don't go out onto the field in somebody else's uniform or without a uniform at all. They have something that distinguishes them as part of that team. And if we're Christians, I hope you're a part of the team, and there ought to be some things that distinguish us. You know, Christians should look the part. Our knowledge of God guides us through this. He says here, there's several, you know, talking about Christ being all in all. He gives us a list here. It's amazing. He says, "Whether neither Greek nor Jew." So, hey, your nationality doesn't matter. Where you come from, what, you know, nationality you are, what part of the world or what race you're from. Is this, you know, you're from India or you're from England or you're from the USA or you're from Haiti or you're from Jamaica or you're from the Philippines or you're from, look around here, Greece? So wherever you're from, doesn't matter. Christ is good for you too.
I'm a Greek.
The righteousness that God wants to put on, that you want to put on, it's good for you too, regardless of what nationality you are. Then he says, circumcision or uncircumcision. This is a distinguishing characteristic between those that believed in God and those that didn't. I think what he's saying is that whether you have what you believe to be a system of beliefs or not, there either way, you need Christ. What you need is Christ. It's not a system of beliefs. It's not an organized religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is who you need. That's what we're supposed to be putting on. And then he goes on. He says, whether barbarian or Scythian. Well, you know, the Greeks believed themselves to be the elite. They believed that they were the top. They were number one. I was waiting for an exactly. So they actually looked at everybody else that didn't speak Greek as barbarian. Everybody else was barbarian, whoever they are, because they didn't speak Greek. They called them barbarians. But below the barbarians, in class, was the Scythians. They were believed to be worse than the barbarians. What God is saying is, whatever class you happen to come from, there is no class. There is no up here and down here. We're all even at the foot of the cross. Wherever you are, my kids were learning this week about the caste system, which is actually still very active in India, because it is tied very strongly to their beliefs. In Hinduism, the belief that you are stuck in they believe if they desire more than what they have, they're basically, they'll never reach nirvana. They'll never reach peace. They'll never reach, that peace is found in existing inside of where you are. So the caste system, although it's not supposed to be taught and held to and exercised by government, people keep themselves in that caste because of their beliefs that to try and get out of that caste system is going to cost them their life. They're not going to come back in the right, you know, as a better being and whatever. It's tied strongly to their religion, so the caste system is still very, very strong. There's people that are way below them. That's why there's somebody, a crippled in the street, that will be laying in the street for 30 years, and nobody aids them, nobody helps them, because they are in that caste and there is nothing there for them. And so they don't help them. God says, hey, there is no caste. There is no difference whether you are up here or down here or wherever you think you might fit on that, whether bond or free, whether you are a free man or a slave, Christ is all in all for everyone. It doesn't matter where you come from. Max Miller was one of the greatest experts on the science of language. And he talks about this. He says, in the ancient world, no one was interested in a foreign language apart from Greek. The Greeks were the scholars of their day, and they would never disdain to study any barbaric tongue. They didn't even look at it as valuable enough to even know, understand it. Didn't matter. Greek was the language. Beyond that, it made no difference. The science of language is a new science indeed. The desire to know and understand someone else's language is a new desire. He wrote this, and I quote, not till that word barbarian was struck from the dictionary of mankind and replaced with the word brother. Not until the right of all nations of the world to be classed as members of genius of one kind or another were they recognized. Can we look even for the first beginnings of the science of language? And then he says, this change was effected by Christianity. Because Christianity bridged the gap between the classes. Christianity put everybody together at the foot of the cross. And whether you speak Tagalog or whether you speak English, doesn't matter. We all need Jesus. And we are all equal. And that's what he is saying here. And Christianity brings us together, gets us out of this where one man feels he's better than somebody else. You can't be a Christian and believe in something like the Third Reich and Nazism and the supremacy of their race at that time. because we all understand we're just human beings. We're just sinners saved by grace. And it doesn't matter where we come from or what our nationality is. Christ is all in all for every nation, every creed, every circumstance, barbarian or Scyth, all of them. So verses 12 through 14 talk to us about our attire. What is it we're supposed to put on? Well, first thing he says to put on bowels of mercy. This is compassion. This is a tender heart towards others. As Christians, we've lost the right to completely disregard the needs of our fellow brethren. That's what happens. See, like I was talking about the caste system there, Brother Brian and I, we went to a place where this facility was set up specifically to help people with disabilities in India. And he said these kind of places, although they're very prevalent in the States and people try and help them and they realize that they can have a license in India, it's a new thing. He said many times, even in a family, if a child is born crippled, they'll feel that that child is not worthy of the rest of the family. And that child may sit in one corner of the house for his entire life. That's all that he'll ever know. There is no compassion. There's nothing to try. And this place is set up to help people realize they can have a life. Although maybe they don't have legs, that they can get around. And I mean, there's nobody helping them, showing them how they can use a wheelchair. You could have the ability to get around and use a wheelchair. And this one guy that I sat and talked to for a little while, he had spent about the first 20 years of his life just sitting on a street, no life at all, nothing beyond just the sun rising and going, just because he didn't have any legs. Very smart intellectually, very strong, and he got into this system, and now he tells his story and teaches others there how they can have a life too. And he's able to with a wheelchair. He goes all over the city. He calls his own cab and he rolls up to the door, opens the door, swings himself over into the seat and grabs the wheelchair and folds it up and pulls it inside. He can go wherever he wants to go, have whatever kind of life he wants to have. All because somebody took some time and showed him, hey, this device will help you get around. But there was never any compassion. There was nobody that cared about them that would help them. As Christians, we've got to have compassion. That's what he's saying, bowels of mercy. It ought to be part of us. We've lost the right to disregard the needs of our fellow brethren. Hebrews 13, verse 3 says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. He says, hey, remember those that are in bonds. Remember those that are bound as if it was you yourself. I think about it like this. What, as we consider the mercies of God that are renewed every day and the mercy that he has on us, we should be able to extend and have that mercy for others. Renewed every day. That's a mark of a Christian, having compassion. Some having compassion and making a difference. You can make a difference with compassion, caring about your brethren. Then kindness. We ought to put on kindness. Hey, this world is a merciless place. This world can be so cruel. We ought to be kind to one another. You need to teach your kids to be kind. Kids can be so brutal. They can be so mean. Have you ever felt like just a number? Whether that was at work or, you know, you're in a group. That's why here, like when people come and they join the church, we don't want to just say, okay, you're number 78. We want people to know who they are and to know their names, and we welcome them into the family of God. We try and make it a little personal. We allow them to give a testimony, maybe share their story, a little bit about their story. And we do that because we don't want somebody to feel like a number. Well, one lady was asking a little boy about his age, and this little boy had a little brother as well, and his little brother wasn't quite one yet. He's a newborn. And so this lady says to this boy, well, how old are you? And he says, 4. And so he said, 4. She says, well, how old is your little brother? And the little boy thought for a minute, and he said, he doesn't have a number yet. Here's a boy that wasn't even a number yet. You felt like a number. This boy didn't even have a number yet. Listen, we need to be kind to one another. You know, you can, even in correction, you can be kind. One of the reasons many parents provoke their children to wrath is because the children are responding to the wrath that they're receiving. Even in correction, you can be stern and still be kind. It doesn't have to be angry. It doesn't have to be screaming. Listen, you need to make it a practice as a parent. If you're still raising your kids, you still have kids in the home, you need to discipline yourself to never raise your voice. Your kids should not be afraid when you raise your voice. Your kids should be afraid when you get quiet. You see, when you have to, your kids have learned that you've got to get about to hear in the decibel level before you're actually serious. That shouldn't be. You should discipline yourself to not raise your voice. If your kids are being so loud that they can't hear you, don't yell and scream over them. Walk over and get their attention. Say, I was calling you. You need to listen for my voice. You train that in them. Train up a child. It's training. And as a parent, that takes discipline, because when you're frustrated, boy, do you want to let them have it. You want to raise your voice. Hey, I'm human. I can't say I've never raised my voice, but I can say that I work hard not to. And you'll get a far more peaceable home if you learn to do that. If you learn to be able to communicate without raising your voice. Kindness. We need to be kind one to another. Humbleness of mind. We need to have humbleness of mind. What a characteristic of the Christian. What a mark of righteousness is humility. Humility. Just think about what God feels when he looks down and you're clothed in pride. We're not to be clothed in pride. Hey, pride is an abomination to God. What hast thou that thou hast not received? It all came from God, and here we are puffed up and proud about it and saying, oh, we've done this. And God's looking down and says, it's like if I picked up an ant off the floor here and I set him up here, and that ant stood up on his back legs and said, well, look at what I did. I got up here. No other ants could do that, you know. And we'd be like, what? He's back down. We get all puffed up in pride, and God looks at us like and says, everything you are, I made you. Every ability you've got, every strength you have, every dollar you've earned, every brain cell you've got, whether it's a few or a lot, I gave them to you. And we get puffed up in pride. Hey, the mark of a Christian is understanding who we are in the eyes of God. And God loves us. Amen. And he knows us by name, and he knows how many hairs you have or don't have on your head. Hey, praise God. But we shouldn't be all proud about it. Humbleness. You know, today's young people are taught and encouraged to be like peacocks. Yeah. To walk around and flaunt every ability they got. And you know, look at me and see what I am. And then when they get a little older and somebody tells them the truth, that they're just a turkey. They're crushed. They're just destroyed. Their self-esteem is just down to the ground because somebody actually was honest with them. We need to be careful in teaching and training our young people, our kids. It's, you know, we got to watch this pride. That's not the mark of a Christian. God hates a proud look. Humility is not concerned with how I look, but with how others look. Humility is not with concern about how I look, but how others look. Humility is not defensive. It's pride that's defensive. Humility is protective of others. So then we ought to have meekness. Meekness. This is a gentleness of spirit, a gentleness about you. You know, even strong leaders can be meek. Moses was a great example of a strong leader that displayed and showed meekness. Jesus Christ, obviously, a leader that showed meekness. Psalms 18, verse number 35 says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath upholden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Aren't you glad this morning for God's meekness? For God's gentleness with us? God's dealings with us? Meekness. Christians ought to have this spirit about them. Listen, the world just disdains humility and meekness. The world doesn't want to see that in anybody. They teach you against that. But we know that if you humble yourself, God will lift you up. Amen. Christianity stands in opposition to the world and the world's philosophies. Then we should have long suffering. Taking a long look before you react. Are you typically fly off the handle? Do you lose control of yourself? Are you short-tempered? Are you not very patient? The actions of a Christian is somebody that's long-suffering, patient, can endure that obnoxious person for a while. You can kind of put up with that. We need to have long-suffering. Someone might have a bad habit. They might have irritating behaviors. They might have something that you don't like. But are you long-suffering? Can you put up with it? God wants us to be long-suffering. There are many times that we may not want to be. But we need to restrain ourselves. Restrain ourselves. We need to be forbearing one another. That's an extension of this, the idea of long-suffering, putting up with one another, putting up with each other. You know, everybody has some irritating behaviors, including you. Oh, I know that you're perfect. It's other people that have the problem. But the situation is that other people think they're perfect, and you have the problem. You understand? We're all human, and we all have behaviors that are irritating. You know, sometimes we might be riding in a car, and one of my kids would be in the back seat, and after about 10 minutes going down the road, I'm like, who is clicking that pen, you know? Would you stop clicking the pen? You don't, I mean, what in the world? You know, we all have things that might bother us. The noises in the car drive me bonkers. If there's a cup that's not sitting square and it's rattling, I'm like, I find paper and I shove it in there. I'm like trying, I'm going to have a wreck because what were you doing? If something was clicking in the car, I had to find it. I had to stop that rattle. I'm like, what's that rattle? The other day, Caleb and I were driving back from delivering some wood, and there was this loud screeching. And we were delivering wood, so I was letting him watch a thing on YouTube about this wood company that delivers wood and how they did it and their system that they used, and he was watching that. And I'm listening to this screeching. I'm like, what is that racket? I'm trying to figure out what in the vehicle is squealing like this, and I couldn't figure it out. I'm listening, and I'm moving my head around trying to listen for this. And I look at him and I say, will you pause that for a second? And he paused it and it went away. There was crickets on that video he was watching. And the crickets were so loud, it sounded like the car was squealing or something. It was driving me nuts. You know, everybody has irritating things. And we need to be long-suffering with one another. We need to be forbearing with one another. Put up with each other. Put up with the little things that people do that you don't like. Listen, even in our families, sometimes the people we are the least forbearing with is our own family. I mean, we would put up with Brother Crane clicking his pen, but somebody in our family would be like, will you cut that out? You really got to do that for an hour? What is that for anyway? They don't even realize they're doing it. They're just, you know. And every one of us have done the same thing too at some point. We're thinking, you know, and we're like, you know, not even realizing we're doing that. Somebody else is sitting over there saying, would you quit that already, you know? Just forbearing, and with our loved ones, with our family, having some patience with one another. This is a hallmark, a trademark of Christians, Christianity. Romans 15, verse number 1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. See, there's the difference. Bearing the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. The reason that we're not as forbearing as we should be is because we want what we want. We want to please ourselves instead of bearing the infirmities of the weak. Somebody that maybe doesn't or can't or won't. Somebody wrote this. The kindest and the happiest pair will find an occasion to forbear, and something every day they live to pity and perhaps forgive. That's what we need, because many people have forgiven us. We need to forgive one another. Then our forgiveness should be full, it should be free, and it should be forever. Like Jesus Christ forgave us fully, freely, and forever. I'm not going to teach on that anymore, but the last one, charity. Charity. He says there, and above all these things, put on charity. Above all these things. That is most important, preeminent. Although he has stuck it on the bottom of the list, he said right there, this is the top of the list. This is the most important. Above all these things, you've got to have charity.
Amen. That's love.
One man was thrilled about a friend of his that said, hey, I want to come over and visit with you on Friday. And he thought, man, that's great. He loves me. You know, he wants to spend some time with me, and I really appreciate that, and he was looking forward to it all week. And then when his friend got there, he came into the house carrying his box. And he's like, oh, he brought me a present or something, you know. And he's coming in the house. And then when he gets in there, he begins to take all of his Amway stuff out of the box. And he says, I got an opportunity for you. I want you to be a distributor for me. Time with his friend, he was wanting something from his friend. Charity. We've got to love one another above all things. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Are you hearing this? You have all of that. And he says, and have not charity, I am nothing. Wow. You could have faith that moves mountains and have all the knowledge of this book that, he says it in all. Understand all the prophecies and have not charity. Above all these things, we need to put on charity. It is through love, the love of Jesus Christ, that all these other things are exercised and these other things grow in us.
Amen.
What are you clothed in today? Are you putting off the wickedness of this world and putting on the righteousness of God? What kind of attire do you have? Hopefully, the kind that pleases God. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for today, the opportunity to be in Sunday school. We thank you, Lord, for this here list of things that are typified by the Christian's life, by righteousness, Lord. And many times I'm sure you've looked down at each and every one of us here and you've been disappointed about what we were clothed in. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be clothed in righteousness, to live lives pleasing unto you. Lord, we thank you so much. for you'd help us to put on charity, that love, that kind of love, the agape love, the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, we'll thank you. We ask you to go with us in the morning service. Speak to our hearts, Lord. This is in Jesus' name. Amen.